Good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. I thought this was going to be really nice and festive, and I thought it'd be quite fun to wear this. Two things. One is it looks ridiculous. The second thing is I'm sweating. This is making me so hot, this thing. We come in here, and I thought, right, we both got our shirts on because we both won this week. Happy days, right? But we both got the black shirts on. Again, I thought, this is like our first post-Christmas live stream. It didn't feel right to not have some sort of Christmassy thing going on.
Normally we, and I should have thought about this, normally we put some sort of festive thing on the stream screens, yeah. Don't we?
Not even the screen is like festive. Normally there's like some like holly or something or like a bauble, but not even that. Didn't even do that.
You do look ridiculous.
I can't wear this. It's a joke. It's so, my head's so hot. Sorry, guys. Christmas is done. It's finished. Forget it. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, Christmas is over.
Oh, not doing it.
I don't know.
Well, Merry Christmas to anybody that, I hope you had a lovely day. Anybody that was celebrating Christmas. We had a lovely Christmas, didn't we? Eating, drunk too much. It's standard Christmas in the Bonfield household, no?
Yeah. Yeah. It was good. I don't know.
Do you want to tell the good people about the present that I bought you?
Yeah.
Go on. This is so random. Should I tell the story or do you want to tell it?
No, you tell the story. You tell it the best. Go on.
I don't think that's true, but all right. So I went to a corporate do about sort of 2 or 3 months ago, didn't I? And it was a Liverpool Legends lunch. It was really good. It had Mark Lawrenson was there, Bruce Grobbelaar and Jan Mulby, right? And it was in London at this nice restaurant near London Bridge area. And all three of the guys were up talking, telling stories and stuff. You get a bit of lunch and a few beers and we had a table with a bunch of my workmates. Good fun. I got invited. It was great. It was organised by a company called Under the Posts, right? As a quick plug for Under the Posts. Really good event. But they do events for all sorts of teams, right? And because it's Under the Posts, and if you look at their logo on their website, it's like a rugby post. They do a lot of rugby dinners, right? They do some football dinners as well. And at the Liverpool event that I went to a couple of months ago, they had this silent auction, right? You know what silent auction is? There's a reserve prize, a whole bunch of signed stuff usually and other things that you bid for, and then if you win it, the money goes to charity, effectively, right? This silent auction, a whole bunch of... It's a Liverpool room, right? There's Trent signed boots, and there's a Gerrard signed shirt, and there's a Liverpool... And I'm like, this is really nice. But one of the lots in the silent auction was for a Spurs Legends lunch. And I'm like, well, listen, this is a Liverpool room. No one wants that Spurs lunch, do they? Let's be real. And I'm like, wouldn't that... And by the way, I'm about 4, 5, 6 pints deep by now, and it's lunchtime. I'm a few deep by now. Doesn't take me much to get me drunk nowadays. Like, that is plenty, by the way. Plenty. And there was a Spurs Legends lunch. So I bid for this thing. I won it. And now I gave it to you for Christmas. And it's a Spurs Legends lunch with Gary Mabbott. With... there's not many other Spurs Legends, to be fair. Gary Mabbott. The keeper. What's the goalkeeper's name? Jennings? Is it Pat Jennings?
Yeah, it is. But how very dare you say that?
And what's his name? Perryman?
Yeah, Steve Perryman.
Steve Perryman.
Is the most capped.
The three most capped Spurs players. You're going for a little lunch with them. That's nice, isn't it?
Yep. Tell them the rest of the story.
Well, when I bid for it, I thought it was just a couple of seats. I thought me and you go for lunch.
Yep.
With the Spurs Legends.
How many is it actually, Lee?
I actually won on the bid. It's a table for 10. So you're now scrabbling around trying to find Spurs.
Now hang on, scrabbling around.
I'm like, I'll come if you want me to, just to fill the space.
Coming, but also, I've asked three people, and all three of them have immediately gone, yes.
They're running out of Spurs fans, aren't you?
Oh my god, you're so rude today.
any Spurs fans in the chat that want to come to a Legends lunch? Sam's got a 10-seater table. That's what I got you for Christmas. It's the most random thing I've ever bought.
The best thing about it was he handed me it and went, this might ruin Christmas.
It was a make or break Christmas. I mean,
what do you mean? Why?
It could. I thought you were going to think it was really random.
I bought
a table for 10 at a corporate Spurs thing.
I did think that was really random.
Right, but you still liked it.
I mean, it'll be still a lot of fun, won't it?
It'll be good. Yeah, it'll be good. Gary Mabbott's a little hero of yours and ours, and my brother as well loves Gary Mabbott.
Last time I saw Gary Mabbott was in a hot tub, as the guys that listen to our Ohana will know.
Totally. Yeah, totally.
I don't know if he'll remember that. I'll ask him.
Steve Perryman. I think your mum had a crush on him back in the 60s and 70s.
When I was growing up, my mum used to tell me that she wished Steve Perryman was my dad. That's what she used to say to me all the time. I wish in another life, Steve Perryman would have been your dad. And I was like,
wow.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay, then. And then my dad chirped up. I played golf with him once.
Oh, yeah. Oh, go. So that was okay. That's what I got you for Christmas, but amongst some other things, very, very random, very, very random. But hope you all had a lovely Christmas, guys. Welcome back. It didn't take us long, Sam, to get back into the FPL swing of things, isn't it? We're not even into 2026 yet, but we've got two game weeks now between Christmas and the new year. One we've just had. And where are we now? The next one starts, I think the deadline, correct if I'm wrong, is Tuesday.
That's correct.
Tuesday. At what time?
6 o'clock.
6 p.m. UK time is the next deadline, because yes, we have games Tuesday night and then Wednesday and Thursday.
No, nothing
right.
Wednesday, because New Year's Eve. So we have a day Ooh. Off and then we start and then the game week continues the like 24 hours later.
So the deadline's on Tuesday, nothing on Wednesday, and then the remaining games on Thursday.
Yeah, I think it's 6 games on Tuesday, 4 games on Thursday, and Bloody then we hell. Start again on Saturday.
I thought it was FA Cup that weekend.
No, we start again on Saturday.
There's another one on
and
the Saturday.
And then the FA Cup is...
Oh my God, right, okay.
A little bit further into January.
Okay, so look, listen, as we knew a couple of weeks ago, right, FPL chaos at this time of year, absolute chaos. But the propensity is there to go up or down in mini leagues because the game weeks are coming thick and fast. So as you guys know, we usually say no knee-jerking, right? But actually, it's the perfect time of year to knee-jerk.
No, you have to knee-jerk.
If you think there's a good option that you want to get in, now's a good time. Now's a good time. Let's say hello to a few people, Sam. George is in with a super chat. George, you've got to stop super chatting, mate. You're already a member here at the FPL Family YouTube channel. You already follow us and support us on Patreon, so you do not need to keep doing this, but thank you very much. We appreciate you, as always. Hello, Bonfields, he says. Hello, mate. Christmas present for all the family. Thank you, mate. We really appreciate that. We really appreciate it. Just a massive thank you. It's a £50 super chat, by the way.
George!
It's nonsense, isn't it? Nonsense. I'll tell you what, though. That will go into... partly will go into the beer fund for the next couple of days, because we've got a little trip down on the South Coast, haven't we, in the next couple of days?
We're going to go vlogging.
We're going to go vlogging with Az and Yelena over the next couple of days. So
I actually think the kids are borderline more excited tonight going to bed than they were on Christmas Eve going to bed.
They are quite excited about seeing Az and Yells, aren't they?
Yeah. Quite.
Very, I would
they're
say.
They're very excited about seeing very. Az and Yells.
So we've got a little trip down to the South Coast over the next couple of days. So, George, we'll buy Az and Yelena a drink on you, mate. We appreciate you. Thank you for making 2025 an incredible year. Yes, mate, it has been huge this year. It's huge. From Fest to Slack Fun and Fortnite. Yeah, listen, we're getting quite regular on Fortnite now.
I know, I hear George's voice in my house now.
It suddenly just appears through the PS5 controller.
I'll be down here doing something else, and I'm suddenly thinking, that's George. Where's he coming from? And then I go upstairs and it's just you three playing Fortnite together and generally just George being kamikaze and running into trouble. Oh, that's generally what I get told.
If we've not said it before, I'll say it again. Me and him are crap, right?
Max is like, George, is really stop good. Going into trouble.
Max is good. Me and George, we're average. I say we're average. Truly be lost without you both in the Slack family. Oh, thank you, mate. Happy New Year. Love you lots. Thank you, mate. Love you too. It's been,
we're
it's
not
been
going
a pleasure,
anywhere, George.
Mate. Pleasure having you around and all of the Slack community for the last year or so. And I know that you personally get a lot from it, not just FPL advice, right? So, mate, it's great.
Doesn't get that.
It's great. All Fortnite advice coming in there for that either, I tell you. But, mate, thank you for being a part of our Patreon community. It's been a pleasure having you and everybody else in 2025. And we'll go again, mate. We go again. We'll reset. We'll go again in 2026. Do it all over again for another year. Wilco is in. Nice to see you, Wilco. Davis family is here. We've got Kelly T is in as usual. Thanks, Kelly, for joining us. Nice to see you.
A lot of our patrons are in.
All the patrons are in. Chatterbox, 5,261 points for Chatterbox this week, Sam. Not bad at all. Green arrow up to get this. 52k.
I said to...
Have a word.
I was chatting to...
Very nice.
To Az and Yells in our group chat before we came on here, and I said, everyone in the mud this week? And Yells went, no, I got 21 points on my bench boost.
Paid a bench boost, didn't she? Dubravka?
21
Anderson?
Points on your bench boost. I mean, of all the weeks for Jammy and for Dubravka to come in, oh, it was when is when Jack Grealish right. decided to get drunk over New Year and not turn up for the Everton attack. Over
when,
Christmas, rather.
When Moyes was asked about that, he just went, oh yeah, Jack's had a bit of a virus. He's been a bit all last
but
few
then
days.
But there's pictures
so
of him in a nightclub.
Virus Schmirish.
Maybe caught the virus in the nightclub.
Listen, he's had a lovely Christmas. And he's I think there's a video of him getting in the back of a cab, isn't there? Leaving
well, that's
the
what I mean.
It's
so
like...
maybe that's where he picked up his virus anyway. He ruined the Everton attack because they basically did not have one. So Dubravka with an 11 pointer.
Do you know what? I don't like that from Grealish at all. What? I think that's such a bad look for him to do that. When
well,
you've sure
got... he didn't mean to get ill.
No, he's not ill, though, is he? He's just pissed. He's hungover.
Well, hang on. You had a go at Munoz before, and you had to attract your comments. So let's assume that actually Jack Grealish did get ill from going out.
I think at a time when, and we sat here last week and said this, didn't we, that Everton will be missing a few of their influential creative midfielders. He could have bloody done with a bit of Jack Grealish's, you know, talent at the weekend, and he decided he was going to go out partying instead. How does that? What does that say to the rest of the team? The rest of the team who had to trudge up to or down, up or down, somewhere to Burnley. My UK Burnley? Geography, I don't fucking know. But they had to go from that to go away to Burnley, like a couple of days after Christmas, and he's not in the squad because he's got too pissed at a nightclub. I think that's such a bad look, by the way.
But we don't, I think it's awful. He got too drunk.
No, I think
we
it's
do,
awful.
We do just know that he got a virus from somewhere.
No,
somewhere.
It's a lie, Sam. Stop being so naive. It's a joke. He got pissed and he's not ready to play. It's ridiculous. Scott Schrager's in the OG. Hello, mate. Not very professional, he says. Mate, you've been kind there. You've been kind
what,
there.
Lee or Grealish?
No, Jack Grealish.
All right.
Joseph Maloney, very nice to see you, mate. John Robert Knight, yes, sir. Rob Mosley, evening all. Hello, Rob. How are you, mate? How are you? Hope you had a nice Christmas. James A. 3140 is in. He says, go and change to the white and red. Well, I could have actually worn the white and red. I could have, because it was a home game.
No, but do they
I'll
mean
with the black.
Red and white?
Yes, he could mean that. Yeah, he could absolutely.
We were away
mean that.
From home today, so I went away kit because I don't have the third kit that we played in.
Yeah, true enough. Monkey Trousers is in, Sam. Ever heard of Monkey Trousers 96? That's a new name for here, isn't it?
Well, if you've not been here before, Monkey Trousers,
you know what to do, mate.
Hit that subscribe button.
You know what to do. We need more names like Monkey Trousers 1969, mate. If you're not subscribed, mate, get subscribed. Get back here next week because we need a bit more
Summer
Monkey Trousers in our life.
Dinner.
Henry CP got 45 points, mate. It's tough, isn't it? I think it's been a tough game week. Went for Cunha instead of Ertz. Definitely regretting that. Well, that for sure.
Yeah, but that might come around again next week because now the fixture's better for Cunha. We'll talk about it, I suppose.
Yeah, we will talk about it. We'll talk about it. As usual, we will do a whole host of things, including talking about our teams. We'll talk about what we're thinking for transfers for next game week, which, as I say, is literally like 48 hours away at the end of Tuesday. So we've not got long to kind of... Well done for being here live, because anybody watching the replay, you need to get through this pretty quick and start making decisions because it's that time of season. It's that time of season. Before we get into the game, Sam, before we start talking about and analysing the games from an FPL perspective, I do just want to give a shout out again to all of our Patreon supporters. We've had a load of new ones over Christmas, so loads of new people joining us over on Patreon. So thank you very much for joining us. Some of our OG, some that have been with us for months and years, actually, are here right here in the chat tonight over on YouTube. So we have lots of different tiers. We have a free tier, by the way. So you can go over to patreon.com/FPL family. You don't need to pledge us or donate any money per month at all. Just sign up for a Patreon account and for free start following us, and you'll get access to the Ohana podcast that we do every single Thursday and a preview for the upcoming game week. So if you want to go and check that out, patreon.com/FPL family is where you'll get that. And then if you like that, if you join us at the free tier, and then you think, actually, yeah, these two are all right. These two are okay.
We're okay.
They're fine. I'll start following them at one of the higher tiers, and maybe you want to get involved with the Slack community, which you mentioned before with George and Kelly and Joseph and a whole host of other people. Maybe you want to do our Manager of the Month competition, where every month I run a competition offline outside of FPL, and I do a tally up every week, every game week, and we get prizes. People get shirts in the post and all sorts of stuff, right? Or maybe you want to go to the upper tiers and start talking to us directly. Maybe you've got issues with your team. Maybe you've got to play the wild card because, you know, we're all going to get a bunch more chips, aren't we? Over the next few weeks, from game week 20 onwards, I think it is, isn't it? So if you've got chips, you want to play wild cards, you want to play anything, actually, yeah, I'd like to talk to Sam, I'd like to talk to Lee about exactly what I'm going to do, then the Zoom tier or the all-in tier is where you can get access to us directly as well. So we'd love you to consider doing that. patreon.com/FPL family, even if it's just to go over there, get an account, and for free, start listening to the Ohana podcast that we do every Thursday. We'd love for you to go over there and check that out. All right, Sam, let's get into some of these fixtures. Where would you like to start? Because there is quite a lot of FPL talking points this week, I think. Do you want to go to Liverpool first?
Go on then, darling. Would you like to kick us off?
Well...
Because you must be happy. You won?
Yeah. Yes, I am. I am. Because I think if you... So Liverpool 2, Wolves 1. Let's do this one first. First of all, we both bought in a Liverpool attacker this week, and it worked out for both of us, right? Hugo Ekitike bought in by me, so he gets the assist, which is good. Mm-hmm. You bought in Wirtz this week, who gets his first goal for Liverpool, official goal, because the one that he got a couple of weeks ago was deemed an own goal, which I think is probably right. And I thought he'd run the show, Wirtz. I thought he absolutely run the show. I think he got the 3 bonus points as well. I'm just going to check that.
He did.
Yeah, the 3 bonus points. Looks as if he was pretty clear from Gravenberch on 40. And then the next best was Curtis on 26, who got the 1 bonus point. So he and Gravenberch, Wirtz and Gravenberch, well up there. Well up there. And Wirtz easily winning it with 45. So the two of them, I think, seem to be starting to build a bit of a relationship as well. And listen, I'm not getting overexcited because Wolves, right? You know, we will have more difficult games, and even Leeds will be even. Yeah, that will be a difficult game coming up on Tuesday, Roden. Wednesday. But again, I don't know. There was a bit of me that was a bit like they had to play an occasion here a little bit. Liverpool, didn't they? It felt like because of the Jota stuff, because of what was going on before the game. His kids are there. His family are there.
Wolves have been up the day before, hadn't they, to do a little tribute to him, I noticed, outside. Yeah,
so, you know, a time when, you know, maybe, potentially, they're all starting to sort of come to terms with it a little bit and sort of handle that whole situation and maybe starting some of them maybe to move on a little bit. You know, then it comes back again in this game, doesn't it? And all the kind of feelings come back. So there was definitely a bit of an occasion management having to be done during this game. So from that perspective, to get the win in those circumstances, I was really happy with that. There was a, yeah, Joseph, you're saying in the chat, a lot of emotion around. You're absolutely right. There was a lot of emotion. Obviously, it's a bit of a game of two halves, really. I mean, the first half was, I thought we played really well. We got a couple of goals in 2 minutes. But even in the first, I think, 5 or 6 minutes, Ekitike hits the post. That would have been a versus assist Ekitike goal. Hits the post, bit unlucky. If we score that, then maybe it's floodgates, right? But we go in at 2-0. To then come out and concede again another sloppy one from a corner, right? Let's not beat around the bush. Again, poor, poor defending from Liverpool from a set piece. And then it's nervy, isn't it? Like, really, again, unnecessarily nervy. And how many times have we said this about, how many times have I said this about Liverpool this season? We get to a really, like, what's the right, you know, like a not comfortable, but we get to a position where we're like, you know, even on Gillette Soccer Saturday, they were doing the halftime analysis and they were like, you know, 2-0, game over, Liverpool to see this out. And I'm like, all it's going to take is one brain fart, right, from somebody, usually Konate, who I know that I think was a bit ill before the game. So, you know, played he despite he hadn't trained much and all the rest of it, right? So fair play to him. But still to come out and for it to be a bit nervy in the second half of this game, that was a bit of a shame not to see us go on and get 3-4, you know, more goals. Nevertheless, Ekitike looking okay, or what's your thoughts on him as an asset? Because he's, you know, nearly 9 million now, if not already 9 million, I think, in terms of price, for a number 9 who looks pretty assured of starts because of what's going on with Isak. But, you know, not on penalties, we don't think either. I think it'll probably be Maka or certainly be Salah when he gets back as well. Do you think he's worth the money? And what did you make of Wirtz, your new signing for FPL?
I struggled a little bit last week. Obviously, you know, it was the Spurs-Liverpool game, wasn't it? So maybe I was a bit blinkered by that. But I wasn't hugely impressed by Ekitike last week. Already got the goal, but we talked last week about how maybe in another match that's ruled out for the two hands and all of that jazz.
Yeah.
But outside of that, I thought that Spurs actually did an all right job with him. Maybe not with the rest of them, but with him. And then going into this one, I was just a bit like, I don't know. I don't feel a real strong desire to get him. And in the end, I got Wirtz. And if I'm really honest, I think I got Wirtz because I was so worried that everyone was piling in on Ekitike. And I was thinking, well, I don't have a Liverpool defender and it's Wolves. So I'm probably going to be 6 points down on everyone else anyway.
Oh, that was a gutter to not get their Virgil clean sheet.
Yeah. And I was very much feeling like, oh, I'm already going to be a bit down because, you know, people have got Virgil. Some people have got Konate. Some people have got, you know, a Frimpong or a Kirkes or however, or Alisson. So in my head, I was like, well, I'm already down a little bit on that. So I just, and then if Ekitike goes off, I'm going to need some coverage there. And I said to you, didn't I, had it not been for Dom Szoboszlai's 5th yellow card in the Spurs game, I almost certainly would have gone there.
Yeah.
Because he was cheaper, it would have freed up money to go elsewhere. In the end, I thought, well, look, Wirtz is, as far as he can be, assured of starts at the minute because you're so light with AFCON and injuries and everything else. Oh, Wirtz, I
think he's up. Yeah, yeah.
And he's starting to just find a little bit of form over the last couple of weeks. He has looked better. So I'm happy with him. I'm happy to have him. I'm happy to hold him now for a few weeks. I had kind of in my head thought, well, look, maybe I'll get him for this week against Wolves. And then if Cunha impresses me, maybe I'll swap him out for Cunha for 19 and target Wolves again.
Oh, do like a bit of a hokey-cokey with them.
Yeah, and then maybe I'll swap him out for Rodgers and target again. Like, in my head,
I was kind of like... Oh, so just rotate that position. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so in my head, I was kind of like thinking, well, maybe that's how I'm going to play this out.
Mm.
Actually, having... I didn't see this game, mostly because it wasn't live on TV here, but I watched it back on Match of the Day, and I was impressed by Vert. So I was like,
yeah,
well, I'll hold him now. So he doesn't feel like a priority sell, particularly ahead of a home game against the Leeds side, who are now...
Not having just scored. He's got the monkey off his back and stuff, isn't he? I think you've got to hold him now.
But also, Leeds, you know, they seem to pick up a rodent injury, so they're going to be maybe a bit weakened defensively. So, yeah, happy with him. Ekitike is an interesting one, isn't it? Because his ownership is huge. He was the most transferred in by quite a substantial distance last week, despite the fact that it was Bruno Fernandes that had got injured and therefore the midfield that people had the issue, it was still Ekitike that was the most transferred in. So that in itself tells you how big a movement it was towards the Liverpool number nine.
Oh, it was very popular transfer in, no doubt about it.
Oh, for sure, the most. But I'm not sitting here tonight thinking, well, I absolutely must go and get him before Leeds.
Yeah.
I feel quite content with the Verts pick because, to be honest, it feels like if Verts get something, Ekitike might be part of it. And if Ekitike gets something, Verts will probably be part of it. Like you said earlier on.
Yeah, the link-up play was good between the two of them.
So I kind of feel like, well, Verts might be enough. And also, it's harder to get to Ekitike because of the cost implications involved.
Yeah, I agree with you. Ekitike looks... He still looked our most dangerous player. I know Verts, you know, was definitely in and around it, but the Ekitike assist was great for Verts, really. The way he knocked it past the player and then the through ball was unbelievable. But you're right, at 9 million, he was about as dangerous as he should be for 9 million, right? If he was, you know, 7 million, you'd be going, cool, he's good value. And if he was 10 and a half, you'd be saying, well, we're not seeing enough.
Yeah.
But at 9, that feels about right for what we're seeing. So, yeah, I would like to... I mean, he's probably got to score, though, against Leeds. Otherwise, people will start getting a bit itchy, I think.
Yeah, because because these two fixtures were the ones... I know your fixtures continue to be nice after Leeds.
Yeah, yeah, but
these two
in
particular that people were like, well, Wolves and Leeds,
well, it's Emirates,
both at
isn't
home.
It? Soon after that. I think, is it Emirates after that? Let's
I don't think
look.
It's straight after, is it? I think you've got a couple more in between and then you get to Arsenal, haven't you?
Oh, it's Fulham away, and then it's Arsenal away, go. So, you know, and before it's Burnley at home again. So, yeah, that Arsenal away game in 21, that's obviously tricky. And I think with Ekitike, if he doesn't score against Leeds, I can see, particularly if some of the others start coming to the party. Now, we didn't see Bowen really this weekend. We'll talk about him in a second. But we did see Ollie Watkins, and we'll talk about him in just a second.
Yeah,
and I can see, particularly with Villa's fixtures looking good from 20. Now, I've got Rodgers already in place. I'll talk about him in a second. But I can see if Watkins does all right against Arsenal, which is a big ask. But if maybe Villa win again and get their 12th win on the spin, which is entirely possible, I think, because they're flying at the minute, and Ekitike blanks against Leeds, you can already start to see an Ekitike to Watkins bit of a move, can't you? You can already feel that coming.
Well, people will be looking for a way to get to these players in game week 20. Yeah.
And what about the Liverpool defence then? Because I've still got Virgil. You sold Virgil van Dijk, haven't you?
Yeah, I just had enough of you.
Yeah, and I was gutted not to see the clean sheet come in here. I don't know what to do with him ahead of next week, I'll be honest. Like, Leeds at home that doesn't feel like a priority sell, does it? But who's to say Leeds don't score against us, right? I mean, it'd be stack on corners, wouldn't it? And they'll have plenty of strength
Dominic
from set Calvert-Lewin pieces. DCL's on fire. You can...
And Dominic Calvert-Lewin with his Everton connection. Like, a bit like Richarlison wiping up your clean sheet. I could see Dominic Calvert-Lewin doing the same.
Well, I don't even necessarily see it because of that. I just see it because Calvert-Lewin's just bang on form at a minute, isn't he? I can see Leeds scoring against us next week. Whenever it is, when do we play? Tuesday or Thursday?
Thursday.
I can absolutely see that happening. Leeds scoring against us, and if I see that happening, then we're going into Fulham away, Arsenal away. I need to sell Van Dijk, don't I? Really,
it's interesting because I sold him a few weeks ago. Honestly, it was a bit of a rage, I think, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. But in part it was that, and in part it was because I really wanted Bruno Fernandes and I needed a route to him, and and I needed to just plug that gap. But I don't regret it. It's one of those where, like, he has had a clean sheet since I sold him.
But it was just a six, wasn't it?
But it was just a six. And even, like, last week, obviously, we scored a consolation goal. So it wipes out the clean sheet. Again, it's a Wolves costume. And I must admit, I was out yesterday, so we weren't together. And I actually paid very little. It was actually quite nice. I was out and about with my mum and with Evie. And I decided after that, when I checked my phone and Harlan had blanked, I was like, right, that's it. I can't look at the 3 o'clocks because it's going to put me in a bad mood. So I'm going to ignore it. So it was only when I, and I'd said to you, literally as I left the house, I only want to hear from you if something happens or when Verts get something. And bless you, you did. You sent me a Verts text. And I was like, yes.
Of course.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay. So it was only later on as we were waiting for all the messed up trains to arrive. I thought, oh, I'll check what's happened. I had a look at my phone and was like, oh, the Liverpool clean sheet went. That's handy. Because it as a non-owner, I'm obviously relieved about that. Do I think he's a priority sell? No. Do I think you're clean sheet against Leeds? Also, no. Yeah, and the problem is that
too expensive, isn't he, to sit in there, isn't he?
And
too
also, expensive. Though, you play on Thursday, then you're playing again at the weekend in the game against Fulham before we head into the FA Cup break. So these two games against Leeds and Fulham, realistically, do we think that Liverpool clean sheet? Now, at home to Leeds, I don't think so. Away at Fulham, maybe. Fulham aren't scoring a lot of goals and West Ham nearly kept a clean sheet. So maybe there is an opportunity there. But certainly ahead of that Arsenal game after the FA Cup break.
There's too many other good options. That's the thing. Like,
a lot of money tied up there.
Yeah, you can basically go anywhere outside of sort of Gabriel and Timber, can't you?
Well, you so can't it's a go bit there like, anyway because well, you've got your Arsenal locked in, no?
Well, we'll talk about that in just a second. We'll talk about that later. So, Liverpool 2, Wolves 1. It's a win. We've had a few wins back-to-back. Wasn't convincing, but listen, it's all about, as many of the Liverpool fans in the Slack said at the time, it's about the results at the minute for Slot, not necessarily the performances. Hopefully the performances are going to come, but it's about the results. We touched on him a second ago. Let's talk about Ollie Watkins. Let's talk about Morgan Rogers. Chelsea 1, Aston Villa 2. This game, for me, and you're right, you didn't, I don't think, watch this because you were out at the ballet with your mum and with Evie, but I did sit and watch this game. I've never seen a team dominate more than Chelsea in the first. Like, Chelsea were all over Villa first half.
Right.
Absolutely all over them. And the goal came in my opinion, fairly fortuitous circumstances. Reece James knocks in a corner. It's a bit under the goalkeeper. It comes off of João Pedro's, like, calf. And he gets the goal, right?
Okay.
Whatever, right? And a bit fortuitous circumstances. But you cannot deny that Chelsea deserve to be 1-0 up. No question. And actually, going in at half-time, I'm sitting there thinking, this is a good Villa side. They're in a good run of form. If I was a Chelsea fan, I probably would want to be 2 up at the minute.
Right.
So they come out in the second half, and the first 15 minutes is the same, more or less. It's a little bit more even, but it's more or less the same.
Okay.
So Chelsea dominate, dominate, dominate. And then on about the hour mark, Emery makes three substitutions. He does a tactical change, changes the shape. And I know that Ollie Watkins is one of those changes. And of course, he's going to get the headlines, of course. And we will talk about him because he's much more FPL relevant than the player that I'm about to discuss. But the player that came on as part of those three was Onana. Oh, what a difference he made. What a difference that he just got in amongst it in midfield, and it allowed Rodgers to stop doing the Defconny dirty work and go and do the ball progressing, assisting Ollie Watkins. And I know it wasn't an FPL assist, but please, FPL Towers, can we change this nonsense? It was a Rodgers assist. Because he plays the through ball to Ollie Watkins. That's not an FPL assist because it hits the keeper, comes back and goes in. I understand that. But Rodgers made that goal happen, right? So even though... So there's 2 points to make there. One is Emery is like a
tactical genius.
Tactical magician, like this guy. Just knows how to change football matches. That's now 11, 12 wins on the spin. I mean, what the hell's going on at Villa? Unbelievable.
When you think about the early part of the season as well, it's unreal.
It's incredible what they're doing. It's incredible what he's doing. So, so good. So the second thing to say, so that's the less FPL relevant bit. The more FPL relevant bit is I bought Rodgers in this week, and I know ahead of Chelsea and Arsenal, I've got low expectations. Well, let me tell you, Rodgers should absolutely have got points in this game, right? He gets booked because Reece James is fouling him on a corner, right? And the ref, who was crap, no shock there, decides he wants to book both of them. Shouldn't have been booking for Rodgers, in my opinion. I'm biased because I own him, probably. But then also with the assist for the Watkins goal, he's really unlucky because Watkins' first shot hits a goalkeeper,
it's
comes
like back.
It's
been last week, wasn't it?
Fucking nonsense, isn't it? But anyway, Rodgers, for me, certainly after Emery makes the change and puts Onana in there, looked every bit the NFPL asset that we'd want.
Right.
And I was going to add to the end of that sentence, from game week 20, I don't even mind if you want to bring him in for the Arsenal game. The way that they're playing Villa, it's so good. So good.
But we said, didn't we, last weekend, I think we sat here and said, what do you do about Villa? Do you go 2 weeks early, knowing it's Chelsea and Arsenal? Or do you wait it out and ride it until game week 20 and then the fixtures look fantastic and then you invest? But let's remember that, you know, game week 20 we have the weekend, but then we have that break for the FA Cup before we come back and then we're into it.
Let's just have a look at Villa's fixtures from 20 then, since you mentioned them. So yeah, they are, if you look across the next five on the Fantasy Football Scout ticker, that Arsenal away game does drag them down to second bottom, right? So Villa are second bottom because of the Arsenal game next week in 19, or I should say this upcoming game week. Forest at home in 20 looks good. Palace away in 21 looks good, given that Palace, and we've got to talk about them later on against Spurs, looked absolutely cooked. They looked shattered, Palace. Everton at home in 22 before they go to St James's in 23. But even if you were to extend this ticker out a little bit, the Villa fixtures look really good from 20. So, yeah, Rodgers, Watkins, any of these guys from an attacking perspective, and even defensively, they look all right.
Yeah, and I think we sat here last week and, you know, I said, I don't hate it if you want to go early on Rodgers, which you ended up doing. And having watched the highlights, you know, it's in the same way that I thought we were a bit unlucky not to get the assist from Foden last week. I feel exactly the same about Rodgers this week. So from my side, I don't have any Villa players. I guess, given it's a midweek round, given with the exception of Timber, I don't have too many, touch wood, issues in my team. And even then, we can talk about what Arteta said about Timber in a little bit when we do that game. I'm looking at my squad for midweek thinking, well, if I can get through it this week, because one of the transfers that I could potentially do, and I've got 0.3 in the bank, so I can afford some price rises and falls and all that jazz, is to go from Kudus to Rodgers.
Okay.
So now Kudus has got a game against Brentford, Spurs do like to play against Brentford, so I could come quite comfortable to hold Kudus for another week. Very unlucky not to get an assist today. And then do it the week after, as was my original plan. Or I could move early on it, but that gives me another player in that Arsenal game. And I don't love that, despite the fact that Arsenal conceded at the weekend, which was very frustrating.
Yeah.
Arsenal is still a really good defence. They're still a really, really good defence. So, and they should be full strength for the midweek round against Villa. So I just feel like I might hold it for another one. For me, it's still Rodgers. The fact that Watkins comes on 32 with 32 minutes to go and gets a brace, you would expect, therefore, that he gets the start against Arsenal. But he has not been consistent. He has been off it this season.
Well, maybe he needed a rest, and maybe that's what he was trying to do against Chelsea.
Possibly.
Because I tell you what, Marlon was nothing to shout. I think Sky put on a touch map of his touches in the first half. I think he had one. It was in their box.
But the reality, Lee, is that actually and this is going to sound a ridiculous thing to say, given that Villa had like 12 games on the bounce now, but nobody in Villa outside of Rodgers, from an FPL perspective, has actually stood up to be counted this year. The defence have been a bit hit and miss in terms of the clean sheets being kept. There's been some clean sheets there. There's been some attacking returns from the defenders. There's been the odd defensive contribution, but nobody's really like putting their hand up and going, oh, me, me, me.
Mm.
The midfielders have been okay-ish, you know, Rodgers is the exception there. He's not in the okay-ish. He's in the very good category. But everyone else has been sort of okay-ish.
Tielemans with an assist here?
Yeah, but even he's not been... If you look at his underlying numbers and the returns he's had in FPL,
He's
not really been much to shout about from his perspective. And then up top, Ollie Watkins has been in and out of the starting 11 on a semi-regular basis. If he's not been starting, he's being hauled off. Marlon hasn't been great either. And I appreciate that this all sounds ridiculous, because the eye test is being passed from a Villa perspective and the points in terms of the Premier League are being passed, but the performances from an FPL perspective outside of Rodgers just haven't really been there. You haven't been seeing the highs. So
if you had to go for just one right now from Villa, you'd go for Rodgers.
Absolutely, yeah. Because the other thing with Watkins is he's more expensive than Rodgers, and he isn't you know, he's not been guaranteed the starts and he's not been guaranteed the 90 minutes, unlike Morgan Rodgers, who's so important to the way that they play. So from my end, to go for somebody like Watkins, you're going to have to sacrifice a fairly big character somewhere in your team to afford Ollie Watkins.
Well, that's why I say from, like, that's why if Hugo doesn't score against Leeds, you can see it, can't you?
Yeah, yeah, people probably will on that basis. But, you know, if Hugo even gets one, it's going to be very difficult to sell him ahead of a Fulham game at the weekend when Fulham haven't exactly been setting the world on fire either.
Mm. All right, well, let's talk about Chelsea then. And despite the defeat here, I still want to discuss Chelsea because for 45 minutes here, they were exceptional, right? Very, very good indeed. And the clean sheet looked pretty locked in because Villa weren't, they weren't creating anything. But in particular, I want to talk about Chelsea because the next game that they've got coming up is Bournemouth. Now, Bournemouth are leaking goals left, right and centre. I know that Semenyo is still scoring them at the other end, but absolutely conceding goals all over the place before they then travel to Man City in game week 20. It's the West London derby against Fulham in 21 before, well, they don't leave London for a while then, is it? Fulham, Brentford and Crystal Palace in 21, 22 and 23. So is the right entry point for Chelsea game week 21, or can you go a little bit early knowing that they've got this really nice home fixture against Bournemouth coming up in 19?
Where would you go?
Well, I've said it a few times and it's been shot down. But
the defence?
I think Reece James is still a pick. I absolutely think Reece James is a pick. And I know that we've got, I think a lot of us have got kind of FPL trauma, haven't we, from Reece James because he gets injured and he's not in the team and they rotate him. But he's getting the minutes and he's taking the corners and he's taking some of the direct free kicks. I mean, I don't know if I'm going to go for him ahead of, it's that City game in 20 that puts me off, right? Because going to Man City, anything can happen, can't it? But from 21 onwards,
I just worry with Reece James. Like he's had,
well, we all do, don't we? So we all do.
He missed the game against Leeds in 14. After that, he had two clean sheets and then he's had attacking returns in the last two. Mm. So he's played four since that benching. And it was a benching in 14. Can he realistically play Saturday, Tuesday and Saturday?
Well, yes, because it's been proven in the last couple of weeks that he's been playing.
But will they risk that? I'm not sure they will. Maybe they do because he rests him in the FA Cup the following week, maybe. Possibly.
What wouldn't shock me, though, given that it's Man City next weekend,
is he gets a rest in midweek?
Does he not play him against Bournemouth at home, or does he bench him and bring him on if they need him against
That's
Bournemouth?
That's what I think will happen. I think
wouldn't shock you, would it?
I think Reece James will get benched in midweek because he'll want him for City, and then he'll probably also rest him in the FA Cup the weekend after. And then,
possibly,
after that, potentially Reece James is a decent option. However, the Champions League kicks back off again at the end of January, so there will be then the risk of it again in midweek. Because I think the Leeds game was around the Champions League. I think that was a rotation that happened around the Champions League. I can't remember. I'd have to go and check. But it's enough of a worry to me that I wouldn't want to go there, particularly when you're already like a man down on your sub bench because you've all got Giyu, or you're a man down. Like, I'm two men down because I've got Giyu and Josh King, who's not playing at all at the minute, which is a disaster.
Yeah.
So for me, it's not a risk I would take. The one I am interested in is now Gabriel is back for Arsenal. I'm thinking, well, I'd much rather have Gabriel than I would Raya. So do I
go and get Bob?
Yeah, do I go from Raya down to Sanchez to enable the Gabriel pick again, because I'm trebled on Arsenal and I would rather have Gabriel with the upside that he has, be it just in, even in DEFCON. Because the problem with Raya is, and I said this before we even got him, it's two or it's six, because he doesn't really make saves. So whereas Gabriel has the DEFCON and the attacking returns and all of that jazz. Whereas the difference here is that when Sanchez doesn't get the clean sheet, like in this one, he still gets three because we have that additional save points because he does make saves and he does pick them up. So you always have that potential upside with him. And he's 4.9. So he's like a million, 1.1 million cheaper than Raya. So
does Dubravka cover you in game week 20, though?
Well, I don't have to do it now. I'm not going to make a goalkeeper swap right now because I'm not going to
brighten away.
I'm not going to straight away go in on on Gabriel. I'm going to wait out and see what happens in midweek.
So you're saying Sanchez maybe from 21, or he's on radar.
But he's definitely, he's, I think, okay, for me, that's where I'm looking, because okay, I don't, you know, you can go for a Cucurella if you want. If you've got Virgil and you want to swap out Virgil for another premium, you can go for Cucurella. If you
done
like
a bit of a hammy though, didn't he?
But yeah, that's one that you've got to be mindful look out of.
For, I don't know if we know that for sure yet, but
no, and not been flagged, which suggests that we don't know that for sure.
Yeah. Okay.
The attackers, I'm just not interested in at the minute.
Still can't go Palmer, can you? I don't think.
Don't think you can go Palmer yet. I think
we'll be going there soon though. I think it's going to happen.
Oh, it will at some point. Mm. It's inevitable. But I don't, outside of him, like, I keep saying I think Neto's all right, but he keeps blanking.
All right. Well, Villa definitely on radar. Absolutely on radar. Even with the Arsenal game coming up. So let's discuss that. Let's go to the Arsenal game. So let's click that and let's go to Arsenal 2, Brighton 1. So
another really annoying clean sheet go.
So the clean sheet goes again, which again on like a, it's a just the odd goal, isn't it? Right. It's so often happening.
But it does seem to have happened whilst their big players have been out. So we, like, I thought this week they'd be back to full strength. Like, Gabriel was going to be back in the squad. Saliba was going to be there. I was like, right, okay, this is going to be great.
Yeah.
And then Timber's missing.
Yeah, precautionary, I think, though, from what I've heard.
I think so. And it's going to be okay, isn't it? I think from how it's been said, he looks like he'll be all right for midweek. Listen to the FPL pod. I'm sure Jules will give us some insight tomorrow.
Yeah.
But it looks like it'll be okay. But that does, whenever Timber's not there, or Gabriel's not there, or Saliba's not there, it does feel a little bit more susceptible to things.
Mm.
I think the point I'm trying to make here, though, is that they're all back now, and it looks like Timber's going to be back in midweek, or at least for the weekend, if not midweek. So when Arsenal get back up to full strength, that surely means you're going to be wanting to be invested in their defence again. The issue I have here is, do I actually want the double up of the defence anymore? Because Rice is looking like... I mean, it's so frustrating, isn't it? Because we sat and we watched Match of the Day together last night when I got back. And I'm like so impressed by Saka. I'm so impressed by him. He's everywhere. He's doing all the hard work. He could have had a hatful in this game.
How he gets... Like you guys are saying in the chat, Brandon's saying, how did Saka only get 7?
I've no idea.
I don't know.
We've no idea.
Know. He should have had an absolute hatful.
It should have been a double-digit haul and a half from Saka. There's so many opportunities. But what's really infuriating about it is that then Declan Rice sticks in just another corner. That last week he sticks in a corner and the guy decides to handball it. This week, Ruta decides to stick it in his own net.
It's mad. The Rice owners have absolutely shithoused points in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Like, and yes.
That doesn't detract from how good he is.
And everyone's like, oh, you're just bitter because you haven't got him. Yes, 100%. I am. Because I'm paying $3 million more for Saka, who looks incredible and just gets an assist. Rice gets more or less matches him in this game in terms of FPL points. And you're right, all he did was, okay, decent looking corner. But Ruta decides to OG it.
Yeah.
And Jake O'Brien last week playing volleyball and Rice ends up getting like a double digit haul. I can't believe how he gets the points, Rice.
But as an FPL manager, I'm looking at that going, well, David Raya's getting me 2 most weeks at the minute.
Yeah.
This stupid defence can't keep its net clean. So why would you not get Rice, who's cheap? And, you know, I could get Rice in.
He's not that cheap anymore, is he? 7-1, 7-2?
Yeah, but it's relatively easy for me to go from Kudus to Rice and downgrade my goalkeeper. And I've got loads. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm looking at that thinking, well...
It's a bit like don't hate the player, hate the game, isn't it? It's a bit like, Lee, stop whinging about the fact he's getting points and just get him because he's getting points.
I think this is the point, isn't it? Is that I'm watching Saka thinking, you look fantastic. I can't believe I've not got multiple points out of you over the last few weeks. Not
he's
going to
haul
week.
At some stage.
He
I'm
will
convinced.
Haul, and I'm convinced I'm on the right player and I'm not getting off Saka. You could not pay me to go from Saka to Rice, despite all the stuff we've just said, because at some point there's a massive hauling coming for Saka. But I am starting to wonder whether a move away from the double defence, probably by going Sanchez in goal in a couple of weeks' time,
mm.
and going to Rice instead and having the double attack might just be the way to play it, despite the fact that I think the Arsenal attack are about to improve with Gabriel and that back.
Well, the Arsenal fixture is obviously that Villa game coming up on Tuesday, which I, for one, can't wait for. I think that is going to be such a cracker of a game. I hope it's not crap. I just think it could be a cracker of a game.
It should be.
And they're away at Bournemouth, who we've just mentioned are leaking goals left, right and centre. So I fancy Arsenal attack there. Then it's Liverpool at home. Trust me, we cannot defend corners.
No.
That's a fact.
And they'll want a bit of revenge from your game up.
Szoboszlai screamer, yeah. But either way, Rice will piss a few points on corners from that game because we just cannot defend corners. Then they're Forest away, then they're Manchester United at home. So, listen, that Arsenal-Villa game is a cracker of a game. I cannot wait for it. But I find it quite difficult to call from an FPL perspective. So I don't think I'm going to mess with my Arsenal or Villa assets ahead of that game. But going into 20, you know, Bournemouth, Liverpool, Forest, yeah, maybe double attack is the way to go. And it looks like Raya probably is the sacrificial lamb because he's just getting the twos and the sixes, which is not what we want.
Yeah, because at least if you've got a Timber or a Gabriel or whoever else it is you've got in defence, they have the upside of DEFCONs or attacking returns or, you know, they're all the clean sheet or all of the above. So whereas Raya, it is literally like you get six, you get two. Yeah. And at 6 million, that's not acceptable anymore because I can have a load of midfielders who are around that price who are getting more than six or two.
Yeah, there's not much this season that we would have said, like when we were making predictions in game week one, there's not much this season has gone the way that we thought, put it that way. It's been a hard rollercoaster season so far. I'm only halfway through. But the one thing I think we did say was that goalkeepers are just going to be even lower down our priority list. And I think that is the case, isn't it? There's no joy in picking goalkeepers this year. You just pick one and you just hope for the best. And if he gets a six, then great. If not, it's a two, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just, so why not save a bit of money and get Sanchez, who's at the moment just as likely to get a clean sheet as Arsenal is. But that third Arsenal slot is going to be important. And maybe Raya's not the one. Yeah, I agree. Yep. I agree. All right, let's move it on, Sam. Let's talk about Brentford 4, Bournemouth 1. As we said, Bournemouth leaking goals left, right and centre. But again, you've got to hand it to Brentford. Sharder with the hat-trick. I thought they were very, very good this week, Brentford. The one thing I will say is a Thiago seller. I sold Thiago this week to go to Ekitike. Oh my God, have we got away with one there? Thiago Sellers, for him to come away from this game with just an assist, that is a bullet dodged. Let me tell you.
Well, yeah, because
could have had a hatful in this game, Thiago.
Yes. I sort of feel like we might have been saying that for a few weeks, though, with him.
No, he's had no XG for weeks and weeks. And then this game, he turned up. The assist that he did get, bloody hell, that's one of the passes of the season. And then again, it's like even he's the one celebrating. Is it the second goal or the third goal that sort of bounces around and then eventually goes in?
Yeah, he sends the ball in, but it touches about eight people before it goes in, so there's nowhere near being
I was watching him. Watching these highlights on match today thinking, how have I got away with this one?
I don't know.
You don't agree?
I'm not watching him thinking I've made a mistake, let's put it that way. Like, I had Bowen who blanked and I didn't think, I wish I'd swapped him back.
Well, listen, Thiago was...
Sharder was the one who impressed me in this one. He was fantastic.
Well, yeah, of course he impressed you in this one. But what? He's not one of the last few weeks that I've got. Sharder's one of them one in six games. One in seven, one in eight games. Every eighth game, he'll get a couple of goals and look really good and we'll all go, should have got Sharder. And then he'll do nothing now till February, Sharder. But Thiago looked dangerous as hell. And I'm like, ooh, have I made a mistake here? And I do worry that I have.
Nah.
I have, no?
I don't think so. I think I wasn't that impressed. But I think he was fine. That's maybe a bit unkind. I think he was decent, but I wasn't watching him scared, put it that way. Maybe because I was watching it on Match of the Day and I knew the result. But I wasn't watching it. But then having said that, with Saka, I'm watching it going, how on earth? I didn't watch Thiago and think, how on earth has he not got more? Like that cross in is not, there's no way near being his assist or anything on that.
Well, you know how this ends up on Tuesday, don't you, Sam?
Well, nothing happens on Tuesday because he's not playing. They're not playing till Thursday when we roll him over.
All right, well, you know how this ends up on Thursday.
Well, we roll him over. We always do.
Anything else to say about Bournemouth other than defensively, all over the show?
They're all over the shop, aren't they?
You still got Senesi?
Yeah.
What are you doing with him?
Well, I mean, he's still got two because he got DEFCON again. Yeah, he is a priority sell. I think he is a priority sell.
Expensive now, no? What's your selling price on Senesi?
Good question. Hang on.
He's got to be about, I reckon that's got to be 495.
49.
49, yeah, okay.
So, yeah, he is probably is a priority. Actually, he's 4.8 for me. 4.9 is his price. He probably is a priority sell, particularly with the Chelsea game up next.
Have you got an Everton defender?
No.
Senesi to Keane is easy, isn't it?
It feels it. Yeah, it feels it. Easy. It, that feels like a really... I mean, the thing is...
Danny's saying the same in the chat, actually.
Yeah, I mean, but I've got money. I could go to Tarkowski. I don't think I
will. Don't do it. No,
because I don't
think
there's any need to spend more
on Tarkowski. I feel like I'm unnecessarily over-invested in Everton with Tarkowski.
Yeah,
just have Keane.
I see it. I see that. But also, I kind of think that, like, Senesi I've got on the bench for midweek anyway. I would do need Timber to be all right, though, because the rest of my bench is literally in the mud. So doing Senesi to Keane makes sense. It would then mean benching Mickey van der Ven.
The only thing I would say, and a lot of people are wanting to go there this week, is that, and I know he's been out for ages, Branthwaite, but the Everton fans that I speak to and the Everton people that I interact with on Twitter and X and stuff, they say, look, you're mad. You're mad if you think that Branthwaite doesn't just come straight back into this team and Keane gets dropped.
I don't think that's true.
Well, I'm speaking to Everton fans, Sam, that go to the games every week, that know the club, and that's what they're saying. So I trust
that.
Their opinion on Everton over yours.
But he's not... Oh, I wouldn't. He's due back on the 18th of January. That's when he's expected back from his injury. This is Branthwaite.
Sure.
So we've still got two more game weeks.
I said when he comes back in. I'm not saying it's happening this week. I'm saying, but when in the long term he comes back in.
Absolutely no way on this planet. Branthwaite has not kicked a ball the entire season. He's not kicked a ball the entire season. There is no way on this planet that Moyes goes, oh, hello, Branthwaite. You're in the starting 11 from game week 21 onwards. It just doesn't happen. They've done this with Seamus Coleman. He came back in, played what? 15 minutes of that game, and then they had to sub him off injured again. They will protect Branthwaite. He will be eased back in. So I agree with you. In the long term, the Everton fans are correct. Branthwaite will take that spot back. But it's going to be the middle of February before that happens, because he will be eased back in. It'll be half an hour. It'll be 20 minutes. Before he gets 45 minutes. And then that's when you sell Michael Keane.
Okay.
But I think we've probably got 5 or 6 game weeks before we get to that point.
Yeah. Which is basically what I said.
No, you didn't. You said he'll come straight back in. Well, he's not going to come straight back in tomorrow.
I didn't say that at all. I said the one reservation I have with Keane is that when Branthwaite is fit, he's likely to come back in and Keane won't be in the team. I didn't have a timescale on it. I actually didn't put a timeline on it.
We're in February and we're talking about second wildcards.
Okay, sure.
So why is that a worry for Keane right now?
Well, I'm not saying right now. I said when he's fit.
You don't even need to be worrying about him right now.
Oh, God.
Forget about Branthwaite. He's not interesting.
Burnley 0, Everton 0. Talk about Keane some more then. Go on.
Got 10 points, 1 point more than Tarko. He's a lot cheaper. He's going to play until at least the middle of February, because Branthwaite won't come straight back into the team, despite what the Everton fans think. until that point, Branthwaite's got to be fully fit and he's back in. Otherwise, he'll get injured again. So Michael Keane's been brilliant. He has been brilliant. Remember when he was a laughing stock? Do you remember when we used to go, oh, God, Michael Keane's got to play? Target Everton. Not anymore. He's looking really, really good. The only other option I've thought about is to go from Raya to Pickford. That is an option, because the Everton fixtures are nice from now. So that is an option to get out of the double Arsenal defence early is to go for Pickford, which would enable a Chelsea more attack-minded defender, which I also don't mind either. Pickford doesn't save you that much more, though, on Raya. It's a downgrade, but it's not a huge downgrade. Because he started the season expensive.
I think this game, though, more or less played out as we thought it would, right? Everton struggling for creativity because Grealish is pissed and the rest of them are injured. Burnley, who, in your words, always scored the odd goal, didn't score the odd goal. If you played Dubravka this week, well done. I think he got 11.
He did, yeah.
11 points from Dubravka. Bloody hell, well done.
You'd been told prior to the kickoff or the deadline that Grealish wasn't going to play,
I'd have
been tempted to play Dubravka, because they've got no attackers at that point. It's just an Everton team with nothing.
Yeah, but we've all got Raya, Verbruggen or Sanchez. Like, you're not going to not play those boys over Dubravka. Although well, some people will have.
Some people will. And certainly I think Sanchez, knowing that it was Villa, who were in good form.
Yeah, maybe.
I think some people would have. It's just, yeah, it's one of those frustrating ones, isn't it? But yeah, I mean, Burnley, they get a point. That's 2 points in a row now they've picked up, I think, isn't
it? Happy days.
So they'll be quite happy with that.
Happy days.
Yeah.
There we go. All right, that's Burnley nil, Everton. That's all we want to say about that, really. let's move to today. Let's go to your game then. Palace nil, Spurs one. Go on, I'll let you discuss this one. What did you think?
I mean, it weren't a great watch, was it? It was dull. Palace were tired. They are tired. They were without Richards, which I thought was good for us.
Lerma did all right, but not great.
He was fine. They are. You were talking about you guys from set pieces. They are awful from set pieces. Like the fact that we are able to score from set piece in the way that it did today.
You're the second best teamer from set pieces.
Yeah, but in the way that that goes in today from that set piece, yeah, they should be dealing with that. Like that's not a good set piece delivery, bang, bullet header. You know, that should be getting dealt with in that box.
I think Danzo does a really good job to win it in the back post, but sure.
Yeah, but I do think that should be dealt with. I think defensively they should be doing better from that. They were lucky. Richarlison needs to stay onside. I was annoyed with him for the second one because it's a Kudus assist. It's like, just onside, man. In the end, I think we deserved the game. I thought we deserved the win.
Oh, yeah.
Which is nice. They didn't ruin Christmas, as I told you afterwards when we finished the game, because that was my concern. From a Spurs perspective, like, Mickey van der Ven picks up 11 points today. I was happy with that. You'll see why later when we get to my team. But we won't keep many clean sheets because we're just not that way inclined. Palace had no real attack. They had no real threat today. Mateta looks exhausted. They miss Sarr. That side of the pitch is really... they're struggling. They're struggling in attack.
It's the intensity, isn't it? Like, there's no,
it's too much,
like,
yeah.
Like, they're one, squad, they're well. 1-0 down with like 10, 15, 20 minutes to go. And I'm like, right, okay, there's still time for you to get something out of this game, right? I didn't think Spurs were great. Like, I agree you deserve to win the game.
Right.
But I wouldn't say you were amazing today. But like 15, 20 minutes to go and you've got more of the ball. They've given you time on the ball. And
we'd have crumbled. If it had been a team that came out and went for us, we'd have crumbled today.
We watched it with my brother, didn't we? He was around it watching it, Spurs fan also. And every time Palace lumped a ball into the box, you and him went, oh, God, get it away like that. And I'm sitting there going, yeah, why are you nervous, Spurs
fans?
Because
that's what we're used to.
I know that's what you're used to, but I'm like, Palace could play for another hour here and not score.
Mm.
They were so poor. Like, the intensity wasn't there. And I think it is a bit of a lazy narrative to just say Mateta's knackered. He is. We've been saying it for weeks. So why he's not resting him, I've got no idea.
Well, because he doesn't trust Nketiah, clearly.
But it's the others in the midfield. It's the Hugheses. It's the... who's the other lad in midfield who's really good? The engine room guy. Can't think of his name. But the guys that are in the middle of the park for Palace, they're the ones that look knackered. They're the ones that look like they've got no intensity. Like, Spurs midfield today was fine. Like, Archie Gray, fine. Bentancur, fine. But listen, these are not amazing players. You get a bit of intensity in and around them and they give up possession. But just Wharton, that's the guy. Thank you, Azzy. Yeah, Adam Wharton. These guys look like they massively need a rest. It's unbelievable. So knowing, like, last 10, 15 minutes, not pushing for a winner. If anything, it looked like Spurs could get a second and nearly did, were it not for our VAR. So don't begrudge Spurs the win at all. I thought you were the better team. But there was nothing in that game that made me think, oh, I've got to buy either of players from these teams. In fact, I'm looking at my Palace defender now because I've got Gehi, who... Oh, look, he's got what? I think twos and ones over the last 3 weeks. And the 2 weeks before that, I don't think were clean sheets either. But he was getting attacking returns.
He got one late, didn't he? Do you remember? What game was that? He last minute scored the goal.
Oh, I can't remember. I don't remember. Was it? Maybe it was Arsenal. I don't know. Or maybe that was in the cup, wasn't it? But I wonder whether those Gehi attacking returns were masking the fact that actually they ain't that good at the minute, Palace, and we need to get off him.
The problem is that since Munoz got injured, they're really struggling even more. And because I think that injury to Munoz has come at the same time as the season is catching up with Palace, because they started extra early with the Community Shield against you lot.
Mm.
And they said it in the commentary today, they've got a much smaller squad to start from than most of the rest of the league. So when you've got a small squad and then you add to it the something that they've never had before, which is playing additional fixtures. So normally Palace would have played just the League Cup and just the FA Cup. And all right, they might have gone on a cup run, but they're unlikely to go on two cup runs. So it's basically the 38 Premier League games plus however many games you might get in a cup, say five, six. It's a relatively short season for them. This year, it's the complete opposite of that because they're playing the Community Shield. They're playing in Europe. They went relatively far in the Carabao Cup already. And all right, they went out this week to Arsenal. But they have played midweek and weekends.
I understand all this. What are you getting at? They're tired. We understand that.
Well, but I think the tiredness was okay-ish until Munoz gets injured. So now you've got Munoz injured at the back, which has weakened the defence. You've lost Ismail.
Well, Klein just is not...
Because he's not there.
He's not the one, is he?
He's not the one. And that's making them more vulnerable. They've also lost Ismail Assar. And you talked about the engine room in that team. They're knackered. So you've got no one protecting your back line.
So are you going to sell Gay here or not, is the question?
Well, the fixtures are actually worse for him than they are for Senesi. So if you're looking for clean sheets, then probably the right answer is you keep Senesi and you sell Gehi.
Well, look, Fulham at home next in 19. So it doesn't feel like a priority sell to me. Like you say, Fulham are not exactly banging them in, but you would not be shocked if Palace lost the clean sheet there. But then after that, look, Newcastle away, Villa, Sunderland away, Chelsea.
With an FA Cup game in between.
That's not, from 20 to 23, that is not a run where I'm going to want a Palace defender.
No. And also, by the time you then get to the Forest, Brighton, Burnley, Wolves run, that's game week 24 to 27. We're starting to get
into... Well, you can get back on them then if you want.
Yeah. But also, we're starting to get into second wildcard territory by that point because there'll be ideas about doubles and blanks and all of that kind of jazz by that stage. So, yeah, Mark Gahey is feeling like a more difficult hold than Senesi right now because he's expensive. He's more expensive. And Palace are frustrating because they don't look like they have a plan B right now because they don't have any energy to kick on from it if they go behind.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's move it on from this.
No Spurs chat, okay.
Well, you do Spurs chat if you want.
No,
go on.
It's fine, I don't talk about Spurs. We won a game, though. It's quite nice.
You're not picking anyone in FPL, are you?
I have got two.
Well, you've been talking all night about how you're going to sell Kudus. And Van de Ven, keep benching him and he keeps jamming off your bench.
I'm not going to sell Kudus for midweek. He could easily have had an assist today if Richarlison kept his leg on side. Because he assists that second goal, well, the third goal that gets ruled out. He was good from set pieces as well, as he always is. But let's see what happens in midweek against Brentford, because they'll roll over like they always do.
Yeah, all right. Very good.
That was for you, George.
All right. Let's go back into here then, and let's go to, we got wrapped through the rest of these games, Sam. Where else do you want to go? Do you want to talk about DCL being like the best player in the league at the minute? Six straight games in which he scored now. The only other player to do that this season, Sam?
I do know the answer because you told me earlier. It's Erling Haaland.
Erling Haaland from, I think it was about game week 3 to 8, scored six in a row.
It's mad, isn't it, really?
But now DCL is there as well. So why the hell is he not in our FPL teams?
Probably.
Good question.
It's probably because we've all spent all of this time going, oh, look, Jarrod Bowen's got great fixtures. Oh, look, Ekitike's got great fixtures. And we fixture chased. And the reality is that with a club like Leeds, I'm sorry if there's any Leeds fans listening, and I don't mean this in a negative way, but you're not realistically going to fixture chase with Leeds, are you? Because all their fixtures are going to look quite difficult because you're not expecting that much out of a newly promoted side.
Well, the Leeds fixtures are difficult, right? You look at the next five, it's Liverpool away. Say what you want about us. I mean, can he score in that game? Yes, of course he can. But then it's United, Newcastle, Fulham and Everton. I mean, that's not easy, is it? They are bottom of the ticker over the next five, according to Fantasy Football Scout. So it's very difficult to pick any Leeds player, DCL or otherwise, when they're bottom for the fixture ticker. But he's just scoring every game, isn't he? He's just popping up all the time.
But I also think that if your team is set up in such a way that he could be your third, then he's a really decent option as a third.
Well, that's
the problem is that he's 5.8 million. So having him as your third is actually quite difficult because Guiu is significantly cheaper.
Well, I looked at that earlier and I just thought, oh, I could just do that quick upgrade. But no, Guiu is like 4.2.
Yeah.
And DCL is 5.8. And it's like, oh, actually. 1.6.
Like, that's not an insignificant move. So you're talking about having DCL as your second striker, which at a time when Ekitike's got good fixtures and Bowen's got good fixtures and Watkins is suddenly apparently a part of a conversation again.
I think he would still be your third striker, wouldn't he? I think. But
then you've got to take money from somewhere else. Now, maybe you do it by downgrading Virgil.
But this is the thing. He's at 5'8", he's better than Virgil, who's the same price, no?
Oh, 100%.
You think so,
yeah,
100%. I mean, that's the thing in my head I'm looking at. Plus, I'm looking at players like Gahey. Do I take a bit of money out of him, given what we've just said? Don't know. Maybe. Maybe that gives me, with a bit of money elsewhere, potentially, the money to get to DCL. I don't know. I just think it's the fixtures there are not fixtures where you would necessarily go out and pick him. But he's just... I wouldn't have necessarily picked him for this. Sunderland away is a very tricky game. Sunderland not lost a game at home all season. Yeah, here we are. He's popped up again.
Honestly, I want to know, we said this when we were doing the Liverpool chat, it would not shock me to see him score against your lot in midweek.
Not at
it
all.
Really wouldn't.
Not at all. All right, let's move it on. What else? What have we not done, Sam? Have we done
Man
Forest
City.
1,
we
Man
didn't
City
do Man
2?
City.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's just going to be my weekly love-in for Ryan Cherki. Like, City fans, what do you make of this guy? I think, like... Right, I'm going to say something like, this is another one of my stupid shouts now, and you're going to go, what? Shut up. What are you talking about? Technically...
Oh, God.
The way that he moves, and technically the way that he can use both feet, I think it's the... And you're going to tell me to shut up. I think it's the closest we've seen to Lionel Messi.
Oh, for...
Not joking. Sam.
Why? Why does it have to be like this?
Right.
Stop being so extreme. It's not as good as Lionel Messi. He's just playing...
I've not said that. Stop hearing what you want to hear tonight, right? I've not said
he's
as good as Messi.
You just said he's technically...
I've said technically, and the way that he moves and the way that he uses both feet and how comfortable he is on the ball both feet, he's the closest we've seen to Messi in a long time, Ryan Cherki. And he's young. He's really young. He's got time and space to develop. I think... He is an unbelievably good player.
You are ridiculous.
Andrew Yee says, I've been out raging. I've been out drinking with Grealish. People are saying...
Honestly, I don't know what goes on in your head. What goes through your mind that makes you say these things? He had a good game. Yes, he did.
Sammy's been brilliant for weeks, Cherki.
Was he Lionel Messi in disguise? Absolutely not. Does he play in a really good Man City team with really good players around him? Yes, absolutely. Is he a decent option in FPL right now? Yeah, sure, absolutely. Is he as good as Messi? No. Will he ever be as good as Messi? No. Is he half decent? Yes, absolutely.
People are saying more like David Silva 2.0, which is probably a bit more realistic, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, you've gone mental again, haven't you? You've gone extreme.
I love watching good footballers, right? I love watching good footballers. And this kid is a good footballer. Oh my God, what a player. And it's like... In a week where Foden blanks, and by the way, there's another Reinders FPL return since I've sold him.
He is trolling you.
Oh my God, I kept holding him for weeks and weeks. Sold him, he's been brilliant. Cherki, though, goal and assist in this game was the difference. Absolutely a difference. And I have to hand it to Forest. Forest were really good in this game, by the way. Mm. As soon as I turned the TV on for this one, because it was a early-ish game, I think, lunchtime game. I tell you what, the Forest fans were bang up for it. The atmosphere at the City Ground was unbelievable. Really good, really good. And Hutchinson scored a really good goal after Reinders had opened the scoring.
But do you know what's infuriating, though? I think, and this is why I decided to ignore the 3 o'clock games altogether yesterday. Mm. So I didn't even know until we were watching Match of the Day that Tim Brandt played for Arsenal. That's how little attention I paid to the 3 o'clocks. Is that when you've trebled up on Man City, so at the end of the game, I had a check and I was like, oh, okay, 2-1. That's annoying because the Nico O'Reilly clean sheet's gone. Really irritating.
Yeah.
Then I look.
It was his fault, that goal as well, by the way, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So can't blame that.
Then I look. I see not only is his clean sheet gone, but he's been yellow carded and Guardiola's got the assist. So that's already peed me off because now there's a significant discrepancy. And I know that there's a discrepancy in the finances as well. I get it. But it's still annoying, right? Then you see the goals and it's Cherki and Reinders that are doing all the good stuff. And it's not Foden and Haaland. And you paid significantly more for Foden and Haaland. Now, I'm not for any, don't come at me with, well, you're not going to sell Haaland. Absolutely not. But when it's one of those annoying ones, isn't it? A bit like we were saying with Rice. Like, when you've got the more expensive asset and the cheaper one bangs, it's annoying. It's annoying as hell.
Do you know what? It's mad, isn't it? Because about not 3 or 4 weeks ago, we sat here and we went, right, power free.
Yeah.
Saka, Foden, Bruno Fernandes. Them three will form the core of our teams for the next...
Yep. And that's and how maybe this... we need to find Palmer as well.
And how are we going to get Palmer in? And we're going to get Wilson in because he's cheap. But that's the power three. That's the core of our team for the next few months. And it's just like, here we are talking about Foden to Cherky, seriously. Bruno's out of the team because he's injured. And people have gone Saka to Rice. It's like, that's how this season's going. You just got to be flexible.
Yeah.
But of the... Like you, I don't see me doing the Saka to Rice move. I see me doing a Saka and Rice move if I was going to do it. I would be tempted by a Foden to Cherky move.
Well, last week, everyone said, is it the end of Foden's purple patch because he blanked?
Mm.
And we sat here and I said, no, because if you watched it on Match of the Day, it was really unlucky because he's the one that passes to Haaland.
Last week, yeah.
Haaland has the shot, it comes back, he doesn't get the assist, blah, blah, blah. There were other moments in the game. Roll forward to this one, that narrative doesn't exist.
Mm.
Because I'm watching Match of the Day, because I obviously, again, didn't watch this game, and I'm thinking, where the hell's Phil Foden?
Yeah.
The problem with Foden is when it ends, it ends. We know this.
The thing with City midfield, though, it feels like any one of them can go off at any one time. We've been here before with City midfield, haven't we? As soon as you take Foden out and replace him with Cherky,
he'll get a couple of goals. He's streaky. And when it comes to the end of a streak, he does tend to go for a chunk of time where he does nothing, and then he comes back good again.
He wasn't bad. Like, you're talking as if he wasn't in this game. He's like, he hit the post, he was in the game, and last week, he really unlucky not to get points. But I think you're asking for trouble if you transfer him out.
I'm not going to transfer him out yet. I'm going to give him the midweek round. But I'm telling you now, if he doesn't return again in midweek, there will be questions to be had, won't there? Because it's like, after this, so it's Sunderland, right, in midweek. All right, Sunderland are much better at home. But after that, then it's Chelsea. So then I'm starting to think about where am I going next. Then it's Brighton before the Manchester derby. You have to start looking at it, I think.
Mm.
And there will be... And if you're looking at money elsewhere, if we are seriously saying that we want to upgrade Giyu, even if we're not being serious about Dominic Calvert-Lewin, but if we are starting to think about the fact that maybe Ollie Watkins is coming back into the conversation again. Maybe we don't want to burn a forward slot.
It's
then you do have to think about, can you save money elsewhere? And maybe Foden to Cherky is an option. Right now, I would not do it. On the basis of this week, I would not. But if over the next couple, we start to see the consistency coming, maybe there's a conversation. That's all I'm saying.
The thing with the City midfield is whoever gets up and around Haaland will get FPL points.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And while Doku was playing, Foden is central, went in and around Haaland getting the FPL points. Doku's not been there for a couple of weeks. Foden has to go a bit further left than we'd like in FPL, right? Yeah. I know he drifts centrally, guys, but listen, he's been asked to play a bit more left. So who is it that's getting in and around Haaland over the last couple of weeks? It's not Cherky, it's Reinders. Reinders is a player this week who was a little bit deeper to start with, but then if you watch him as the game evolves, particularly in the second half, when Pep's like has a bit, not just gives him a rocket at halftime, presumably, but also tactically tweaks it to tell Reinders to push on and support Haaland more, he's the one that gets the points.
Yeah.
It's like Haaland is so good at just the hold-up play and the occupying defenders, we've said it week after week, that whoever's there with him will benefit.
Mm.
And when Doku plays or when Semenyo plays there, because that looks like that could happen, that transfer looking like that's going to be on, then they'll have a proper bona fide left winger in either Doku or Semenyo. Foden will go back central, support Haaland and get the points. That's the narrative that I'm going to plug, and I think it's right.
Well, if Semenyo goes there, which you're probably right, that adds a whole new element of chaos to who we pick in FPL. And some people will then end up with four.
I think that if Semenyo goes there in the summer, if Semenyo goes there in the next couple of weeks, which it looks like he might, I think that makes Foden just a brilliant pick, because then it's just Foden goes back into being like the danger man off of Haaland.
Yeah, but I think if Semenyo does go there, you've got a whole other conversation about, well, do you just have Semenyo instead because he's cheaper?
Well, no, because those wide players don't tend to be the ones that get all the FPL points. They don't get the braces. It's whoever's in the centre supporting Haaland ends up with the braces. They will end up with some assists, those guys.
Yeah, but I think we just have to wait it out with them.
Well, I just think we'll see a regression in XG from Semenyo, but maybe more XI.
I mean, the reality is that we are trebled up on Man City anyway, as a lot of people are. So it's going to be a case of watch and wait and just see. But if Foden blanks again in midweek,
Yeah, you
people
can see it.
Will start selling in for Turkey. They will.
You can
particularly
see
if Turkey gets a return in midweek.
All right, very quickly, we've got to do Man U 1, Newcastle 0.
Oh, God, this one feels like it was ages ago.
It does feel like a long time ago, yeah. I don't want to talk about how Dalot gets an assist for a throw-in like that. It blows my mind that he can get an assist.
I don't understand why you've got such a problem with the assist from throw-ins.
Because it's just it makes a mockery of everything, doesn't it?
No.
The fact that Rodgers can't get an assist for basically a great assist for Watkins at the weekend, yet Dalot throws it in, it gets cleared by a defender.
One defensive touch.
And then I understand. I'm not saying it's not the rules. I understand the rules. I'm saying the rules are crap.
No, but okay, but it's a dead ball situation. So you get an assist from a corner, like Rice did. You get an assist from a free kick. It's the same principle. You get an assist.
But Dalot throws it in.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even aimed at anybody. It just throws it in. The defender heads it away.
Yeah.
And then Dorgu scores
Worldie.
A thunder bastard from nowhere.
It was a lovely goal.
So, how is Dalot getting an assist for that and Rodgers is not getting an assist for picking the lock through a very good Chelsea defence to get Villa back in the game with Watkins getting the goal? Like, I understand that's the rules. I understand why Rodgers is not assist. I understand why Dalot's an assist. What I'm saying is, I don't agree with the rules. The rules are shite. Because how Dalot can get an assist for that is a joke.
They've been the same for years. You are funny.
It's a joke.
I'll have to listen to this again in the morning when Mr. Laron goes off and one of our assists as well, I'm sure. But yeah, look, this game was interesting. I was watching this one.
Great goal by Dorgu, by the way.
Very good goal. I was watching this game a little bit scared. If I'm honest, a little bit scared because I did not go through a Manchester United pair.
Mm.
When everyone else was going Bruno Fernandes to Cunha.
You're going to be even more scared when they play Wolves.
I thought, oh, it'd be a great idea to go for Verts. In the end, it was a great idea to go for Verts. Very happy with you, Florian. You got to keep it up now against Leeds. I said to you, or maybe I said at the beginning of the stream, I can't remember. My original plan was to go target Wolves. Let's just one to the other to the other. Well, clearly I'm not going to sell Verts now. And I don't have quite, maybe I do have enough money to go from Kudus to Cunha. I'd have to have a look. But I was also using this game as an opportunity to scout Manchester United.
Yeah, what did you make of them then? What did you make of Cunha first? As good as that?
Yeah. I wasn't really that impressed by Manchester United's attack, to be honest.
I thought Cunha was great first
half.
Did
you?
I thought Cunha was really good and very unlucky not to get
points.
Yeah,
but the Mount goes off at half-time.
That's the key. That's the key. The Mount injury was just one injury too many. They'd lost Bruno, they'd lost Ahmad. What's-his-face is over at AFCON.
Mbomo.
Mbomo's off at AFCON. It's just like, God, hit after hit after hit. But at least Mount is still there, who's in decent form supporting Cunha. And then he goes off at half-time as well.
Out?
And it's like,
what's that
I don't know,
him?
I haven't heard the diagnosis, but he goes off as well. And then I think it was just one injury, one loss too many for Manchester United. And in the end, they just struggled in that second half to create enough for Cunha. But I thought Cunha was really good first half. I thought you're bang unlucky if you got him in. And for him to come away with only a yellow card, bang unlucky. But listen, no drama. I think he could do great against Wolves, right?
He's flagged, Mount this is. He's flagged, yellow flagged with a muscle injury. Now, this fixture against Wolves comes on Tuesday night.
Yeah. We know what Mount's like with injuries, right?
Well, yeah. They'll hope that he's fit because they don't have a lot of other players because they really lacked in
chat saying
half.
That Mount was a precaution. Amorim said he felt something, which Crawl Julian, I agree with you, and I'm sure he did say that, but Mount's injury record doesn't scream chuck him back in for a midweek game against Wolves, does it? For me, that suggests we should beat these lot fairly comfortably without him. Don't risk him.
Yeah, but they weren't as good in the second half.
Oh, but they'll have enough to beat Wolves, won't they?
Well, they should.
They should.
They
do.
Absolutely should. I think the interesting thing for me from a FPL perspective this week, obviously Cunha is in the conversation. The other ones are and we've been talking a lot about defender replacements with Gueye and with Senesi,
yeah,
and Virgil.
Martinez back?
Yeah, there's Martinez.
I mean, Dorgu's not exactly a terrible shout, is he? I mean, Dalot can play there, but like Dorgu wasn't.
Well, they all got double digits, all three of them.
Dorgu wasn't exactly playing as a defender, was he?
No.
Right. I mean, one of the super chats we've just had from Koa, thank you for the super chat. Which United defender would you get for a free game week punt? I think free game, weak punt, you'd go for Dorgu.
I would go for Dorgu,
because
yeah.
he was like playing right wing, basically, for most of that game. If you want like longer term, then you'd have to say, well, what about minutes and what about rotation? But if you're looking for a free weak punt coa, then Dorgu's the one, I think.
I think
just
so.
Stick him in there.
I think if you want a slightly more longer term pick, you'd probably go Martinez. Maybe you go Shaw. But, you know, we got double-digit hauls out of three of those four defenders. Shaw got five because I think he got booked.
He did get booked.
The others got, like, you know, I think Dorgu got 17. I think it was 13 and 11 or something like that. Mm. The points for them guys.
Would you make it a goalkeeper?
I looked at the goalkeeper when I did the Raya move and decided I didn't really trust the Manchester United defence. Mm. I still don't know if I trust the Manchester United defence. This is my slight issue. Is that
he's a good keeper though, this guy.
He's a very good
keeper. I think they've
keeper.
Nicked him. What is he, 13 or 14 million they paid for him?
Oh, I don't know. But
I think they've
he's
nicked
a good
him. He looks all right.
He's certainly better very than good. Onana. He's certainly better than Onana.
Well, I'm better than Onana, but this guy looks
all
right.
I'm not sure you are. But I still don't know how much I trust them, which is why I think I like the three that we've just discussed, because they have some attacking threat, particularly Dorgu at the minute. But, you know, when you look at the fixtures that Manchester United have coming up, obviously the Wolves game is lovely. But then after that, when I was looking at the fixtures, I was thinking, well, realistically, do we see clean sheets coming? And even the Wolves, like, game, they've shown against you lot that they can score. And they did score. They scored against Arsenal as well, didn't they? So they have got potential in there to get a goal here or there, Wolves.
Yeah, and Paul Kitt, thank you for the super chat, Paul Kitt. Rodon to Dorgu as fifth choice defender,
yeah.
? He's just 4.1. Listen, for everything we've just said, yeah, I mean, Rodon looked, I don't know, he did get some sort of injury in the game today against Sunderland, so let's wait to see how bad that. Let's wait to see how bad that is. He doesn't strike me, Joe Rodon, as the sort of player that would go off for a niggle.
No,
you know what I mean? He's a bit of a hard nut, isn't he? Most centre halves tend to be. So it feels like that could be an injury you might have to deal with. And yeah, just get Dorgu for a punt. I mean, why not? Absolutely, why not?
He's very heavily flagged in the game already, okay. Rodon, with 25%. So I think he's an obvious sell.
Okay. I do want to talk about Newcastle, though. And the reason I want to talk about Newcastle is, despite the defeat here, the fixtures for Newcastle look like this. Burnley, Crystal Palace at home. So Burnley away in 19. Palace at home. Leeds at home. Wolves away. And then in 23, it's Villa at home, which obviously is difficult. The next four look absolutely unreal for Newcastle. So I'm thinking about how I take some money out of my defence.
Or Virgil.
Maybe. And I thought a downgrade from Virgil to this Newcastle defender I'm thinking of was going to save me a lot of money. It actually doesn't, because Lewis Hall is quite expensive. But I'm looking at Lewis Hall quite seriously for that next four. I thought he was a bit unlucky against Manchester United. I mean, not just a clean sheet, but he gets forward. He likes to get forward. We've seen this before in previous seasons.
Well, he was phenomenal last year.
He's got a bit of assist for it.
Yeah.
I like him for that next four in particular. Obviously, when it gets to 23 and it's Villa home, I'll have to think about what I do with him then. But in my head, Lewis Hall was 4-5. So when I looked at him and he's like 5-2, I was like, oh, shit. I was hoping I'd save myself quite a lot of money there. But it didn't put me off. I was like, could I go Virgil to Hall? It might not be one that I want to do this week, given that Virgil's got Leeds at home. And that I know they've got Burnley, but it is Burnley away. But Palace at home, Leeds at home, Wolves away. I think I want some Newcastle coverage. I don't mind Lewis Hall. I don't mind him at all.
His returns have not been great, though, have they? Like, looking back at it, 2 points... how many clean sheets they... They've had no clean sheets since game week 7.
Yeah, but it's a fixture play, isn't it? I mean, then those fixtures, the next four that I've just read out there, you're banking on some clean sheets from the fixtures.
Yes, you are. But they did not keep a clean sheet against Burnley in 15. They didn't keep one against Sunderland in 16. They didn't keep one against West Ham in 10. Who have they got to play?
Burnley, Palace, Leeds, Wolves, next four.
Yeah, so these are not teams that they have kept clean sheets against already this season. That is my one concern about Newcastle, is that they always feel like there's just... I had Nick Pope for ages. Well, not for ages, really, because he got injured and you had to sell him. But I had Nick Pope, and it was one of my big regrets as part of my wild card that I went for Nick Pope, because they just don't keep clean sheets. They concede the odd goal here
or
there.
They will over that next four, though, is my point.
But my point is that they haven't in the reverse of the fixtures. So they played these teams already, and they did not keep clean sheets against them. They conceded to these teams. So you should see clean sheets here. Yes, absolutely. But will you? Burnley, I'll roll it out again. They always, nearly always score a consolation goal.
Nearly always score. Didn't against Everton.
And yeah. Know that they didn't this week. I think they're quite happy with a 0-0 draw, to be honest. I don't think they were trying to attack because they didn't have to.
I think in a season where, again, not happy with my rank, we'll talk about ranks in a minute, but I'm nowhere near where I want to be. Like the Wilson pick a couple of weeks ago, I'm trying to put myself in a position to get lucky. And with the way that Lewis Hall gets forward, given what we've seen from him in previous seasons, in that next four somewhere, there's a clean sheet and an assist and a 12-pointer somewhere. And he's low ownership, and that will make a difference.
Okay.
I just think you're putting yourself in a position to get lucky. We're going with something. You can go Chow as well, right? It wasn't that many. That was a few weeks ago. Chow scored that header, didn't he? So I think he's 5-1, and I think Hall's 5-2. So there's not much to choose between them. But you know, many will look at Newcastle and go, "Well, you're madly. You need to be looking further up the pitch." What about Gordon, Voltimade, and maybe even Harvey Barnes, players like that? Any thoughts about those guys?
The problem with Voltimade is that we've all sold him, or a lot of people have sold him. Getting him back is hard because we've replaced him with a Bowen or an Ekitike, and we've done that because of the fixtures being nice for them and because he lost his form. So it's quite hard to get him back in, particularly if you're trying to get up from Magiu. He's difficult. Anthony Gordon feels like an easier in.
Bruno G? Is he still on four yellows, Bruno G? Or has he done his time now? I think he might have done his time.
I don't know. I haven't been closely counting Bruno. Oh, the mic's...
You've literally just taken your cable out of your microphone. Actually, excellent. Excellent. Plug that back in. It was all this Bruno Guimaraes chat, wasn't it?
I know.
See if you can fix that. We're also at an hour and a half, Sam. We've got to move on. We've got to get to our scores. This is mad. Just while you're figuring out the technical issues, thanks for the super chat, CMD. Best Bruno replacement, Cherky, Gordon or Palmer? Well, I don't think we'd be going for Palmer at the moment. I'm sure he's going to be an option for us in the future, but Cherky or Gordon, I think CMD. Given these fixtures up, I know you're hoping for pens, aren't you, a little bit with Gordon? He's not exactly firing them in from all play from open play. But again, you've got to put yourself in a position to get lucky. And those next four, a Newcastle player, I don't know who I'm going to have yet, but I'm definitely going to have somebody from Newcastle that's going to be a differential for me over the next four, and I'm going to put myself in a position to get lucky. I think it's going to be Lewis Hall. Let's get to our scores then, Sam. A bit of an average week for me. 39, below par, to be honest with you. My game week ranked 9.3. Was it that bad? Holy shit, it's a bad week then, wasn't it? Okay. Much worse week than I thought I'd had. Game week rank of 9.3, 39, which is crap. I think we should make a little feature of this. Spot the difference. Like Rodgers looking very much like Bruno Fernandes there. Ekitike looking very much like Thiago.
I've changed the players. I bet if you look at your bus team, I've done them properly.
I'm sure you have. My defence, which I thought going into this week looked absolutely brilliant. Virgil getting two and not a clean sheet at home to Wolves is a sickener. I thought O'Reilly had a pretty good chance, plus, you know, potential attacking returns. Timber, I thought, at home as well, could be good. Tarkowski actually did come in with 8. It was 9, but he got a bonus point taken away from him like a couple of hours ago.
Same as Senesi last week. Damn,
absolute
annoying.
Joke. And then Gehi was my substitute on for Timber, who, you know, concedes at home to Spurs. So going into the week, I thought I might have even played 5 at the back. But as it was, they let me down massively. Couple of assists in midfield, one from Wilson, one from Saka, but that's it. The Ekitike assist was fine as well, right? But no goals at all in my team. No goals at all. Really, Tarko saved it. And even then, between him and Keane, I don't know what Keane got in the end. Was it a 10 or 11 pointer? So even then, I've got the wrong Everton asset, haven't I? Probably, certainly from a value perspective. So yeah, game week, yeah, ranked 9.3, down from 630, 640, down to 783. Rubbish. I was having such a crap season. After a few weak green arrows in a row, crap week. But like I say, I'm willing to take a few risks with the likes of Lewis Hall to get that back on track. So this is my bus team for next week.
They're all looking right now.
Raya and Timber, we're going to see how Timber is. Because if he's not available to play against Aston Villa, probably he will be the one that goes out for Lewis Hall for me. Probably make that transfer.
Timber,
yeah.
Okay.
And the reason I will do that is because when I want to bring an Arsenal defender back in, it will be Gabriel. It won't be Timber. So I'll take Timber out for Lewis Hall this week, and then I'll probably do Virgil to Gabriel next week.
Oh, okay, okay.
Probably. We'll see. I don't know yet. The midfield is probably okay. I'll stick with that. Of the four of them, I'm probably most hoping for Wilson to get something at a lacklustre Crystal Palace, right? And then Haaland and Ekitike up top. Tarkowski away at Forest. I think I saw enough from Forest against Man City this weekend to bench him. But I might change my mind there. But like I say, I want to hear...
Who's away?
What do you mean, who's away?
Is Tark at home or away?
No, away at Forest, according to your ticker anyway.
Yeah, because Forest are better at home than they are away, for sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, Timber to Lewis Hall might be the transfer I make. Maybe.
If Timber's ruled okay, though, would you still do that move this
maybe,
week?
Yeah. Maybe. Because it's Villa, isn't it? And having a double Arsenal clean sheet against Villa, I don't really like that much. Although if Villa went, you would not surprise me if Villa went there, tried to get maybe a draw. I don't know. If Timber was all right, I'd have a decision to make. But if Timber's ruled out of that game, then Timber to Lewis Hall is probably a transfer I'm willing to make. Let's talk about your score. Better than me, 46. 46. Talk us through it.
Yeah, well, it's a similar tale of woe, really, in terms of the Arsenal defence. Obviously, Raya not keeping a clean sheet is frustrating. Timber auto subs out much better than your gay he won.
Mad that.
I...
Van de Ven off the bench for an 11-pointer. That saved your bacon, isn't it, that?
I got Van de Ven off the bench.
God, you've got lucky there. Imagine that doesn't happen. What are you on? 46 then, minus 11, 35. Timber would have got 2. You'd have been on 37. Holy shizen. That is, bit of jam has saved your game week.
It, well, sort of. I mean, I also took, this doesn't include the minus 4 I took, so I'm actually on 42. The defence was woeful, apart from Mickey van der Ven, who, I mean, basically the man is God. Wirtz coming in and doing a really good job. He was the minus 4, so I was pleased to see the goal out of him because the 10-point is very much welcome. Saka, obviously, with an assist is lovely. Kudus... every week I sit here and I think I'll sell Kudus, and then somebody else goes and gets injured, or there's an issue, or something else happens. Genuinely was unlucky not to get something out of today's game. He would have been the assist on that third goal had it stood. Bowen, we didn't talk about West Ham, did we? Bowen is a bit of a frustration, I think, but I didn't expect him to necessarily come in and score hatful straight away.
Yeah, you do. You're talking about bringing him in because the fixtures look great. He's got a home game against Fulham. We expect him to go big straight away.
I don't think I was expecting him to go big. I was expecting him to return. I was expecting something from Jarrod Bowen this week, and I would have been happy with a goal or an assist. I think it was one of those.
How long will you hold Bowen for then if he continues to blank?
Well, the fixtures now are the ones... So the Fulham game was like, okay, I'll go a bit early because the price changes. Brighton at home, Wolves away.
Do you think they get something Brighton at home? Do you think West Ham will win that?
They absolutely should win that.
Why should they?
If they don't win that...
I don't think they'll win that.
Do you not?
No, absolutely not. Brighton are half decent. West Ham are shite.
Well...
They are West Ham. Brighton could easily win that game. Bowen can't get something in that game.
No, but... I mean, you're not wrong. But Brighton, Wolves, Forest at home. Forest are a totally different set. They're a totally different beast, home and away. So the next three...
You want Bowen away at Wolves in, what's that, 20, game week 20. That's the fixture you need him to return.
Yeah, midweek and then the weekend. They're the two games that I'm... If Bowen hasn't returned this week coming, by the time we finish game week 20 and head into the FA Cup break, if he hasn't returned, then I'll mark it, I'll chalk it up as a bad error on my part moving on. The next two are the ones.
Okay. Bowen looked very much like Thiago on this one as well.
Does he?
Very good. Yeah. Go on then, talk to us about next week, including captaincy. Is this a week where we can go against the big man?
Where would I go? Wirtz, probably.
Wirtz at home to Leeds, captain. Feels a risk, doesn't it?
I know I shouldn't say this because he's just bought me a 10-pointer, but I just don't really trust him after the early part of the season.
One thing I will say about Wirtz, though, is another reason he's a good pick is because... Ekitike is clinical, right? He's getting the assists and the goals. If Wirtz gets an assist or a goal, he'll get bonus.
Yes,
and the reason he'll get bonus is because he's doing all the other stuff.
Yeah.
Like all the link-up play and all the pass completion. And also, we don't keep clean sheets because we're crap.
Yeah.
So he will, like, a goal for Wirtz is an 8-pointer.
Yeah. Wirtz feels to me like... I feel like with him, it's like getting back with your ex-boyfriend who's done, like, do you know what I mean? Like, you never really trust him.
Well, because he was rubbish the first few weeks.
You've had a few, like, you've been out with this guy, you've had a terrible time of it, you break up because of it, and then in the sort of weird, like, oh, I slightly miss you territory, you end up back there again. And maybe it's all right for a couple of weeks.
Because he's starting to get his life together.
Yeah.
He's starting to look better.
Yeah, and you start to go, oh, maybe he's changed. Maybe he's changed.
You're such a weirdo.
Like, do you know what I mean? So I've gone back there again, and I do wonder whether I've gone back there, and in a few weeks' time, I'm going to wake up and go, you're the same old guy that I dumped back in game week 5, and here I am. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, and so to go all in on him, it's like him basically turning up on your second date when you get back together and going, marry me. Like, that's what it feels like.
You had a really good first date with him, and now you're like, I'm all in.
And then you turn up for date number 2 and you go, let's get married. Like, that's how it would feel if I gave him the captain's armband.
And what'll happen is, he'll go, you're a bit weird, aren't you? And he'll blank.
Just saying.
Fucking what an analogy. Yeah. So good. Tell me, so you're sounds like you're thinking about Haaland.
So I think I'm just going to go Haaland.
If you had Matthijs Cunha, because there will be a lot of FPL managers listening to this that have got Cunha, would you captain him over Haaland this week?
Probably, yeah.
I'd be very tempted.
Yeah.
I'd be very tempted. I'd want to know where the mounts fit, I think.
Yeah.
I'd want to know where the mounts fit.
We probably will hear that. We'll have pressers.
Mm,
we'll have a presser tomorrow.
Maybe.
Well, let's see. But yeah, Timber, I'm hoping, plays. I don't know what I'm going to do with this team.
Transfer-wise?
Right. I don't know whether I'm going to roll it. If Timber's fit, if Arteta says, yeah, Timber's fine, I'll probably roll and have 2 for the weekend. And in that 2, I can then make some fun moves and move some things around. Because I kind of sort of feel like I need to take a -4 because I want to move money between positions thing. Whereas if I held it this week, I could maybe wait.
Okay.
But if Timber's not fit, I do have a slight issue because my bench is just shocking. I've got to do something about this bench. Like, it's fine to have Giyu there, but Josh King losing his spot is a problem. Like, even if it was Potts there, it would be better because at least I would have something to come off it. I have got money in the bank. I've got 1.3 in the bank.
Yeah.
So 1.3 goes quite a long way to making improvements here. However, I want to use 1 million of it after midweek to go from Kudus to Rodgers.
So you've got that as a bit of a banker transfer in your head.
Well, Kudus is going to be Rodgers. So unless I free up some money elsewhere, which I could do, so unless he could come down, Gay could come down, I could do Raya, and there's all sorts of things I'm thinking about.
All right.
I feel a little unsettled, which is probably why I'll just play it through as long as Timber's okay.
Well, as they say, sometimes in FPL, doing nothing is the right decision. Thank you, Davis family, for the chat. He says, what an analogy that was, Sam. Going out on a date with Verts, much better than Lee comparing Cherky to Messi. That was an analogy that didn't work. Tell everybody what's coming up this week, Sam, other than loads of FPL action, because there's tons of football still to go this week.
There absolutely is. So tomorrow morning, I'll be up bright and early to record an FPL pod.
Yes.
With Jules and Kelly. So we'll be reviewing the weekend and then we'll be looking ahead to game week 19 and the deadline on Tuesday. Then we'll be jumping in the car, jetting off to do a vlog with Yelena and our...
Are we going
to
be on Yelena's channel? Should you plug Yelena's channel at
this
stage?
Yes. So we will be absolutely featuring, I'm absolutely sure of this, in Yelena's vlog. The camera will be relatively... like this in Lee's face.
I saw some, we got a chat with them too, like a WhatsApp.
Yeah.
I saw something about some sort of hot sauce challenge.
Somebody on Black Box wants us to do a hot sauce challenge.
I'm not keen, just saying.
There's igloos involved. There's board games involved. There's going to be chaos. There's igloos involved. If you don't follow Yelena, go and subscribe to her channel.
Need to search on YouTube to find
Yelena FPL.
Yelena FPL.
So we'll be featuring on that. I think that video will be out Tuesday, just before the deadline. Then on Friday morning, you'll be able to catch Lee on the fantasy show.
I'm going in the studio, aren't I?
You're going to the studio.
Let's go with FPL Salah.
And Kelly.
And so Kelly, of course, yeah.
But before she goes live with Lee, she'll be going on a pod record with me from the studios down there to record our second FPL show of the week, FPL pod of the week, rather. So we'll be getting another pod out to you on Friday ahead of the Saturday deadline. And then we'll be back on Sunday with our regular live stream ahead of me going to Sky next Tuesday. It is a jam-packed week.
Bloody hell.
And I think I'm also doing a Patreon call at some point next week with Kelly, who I think has been in the chat today. So I'm looking forward to having a catch up with her as well.
Super duper. All right. Well, listen, football coming thick and fast. Deadline's coming thick and fast. The next deadline, I don't know, Hannah Thursday, but the next deadline to be aware of, guys, is 6 p.m. UK time Tuesday night.
Yeah.
Tuesday night, because we have Premier League football on Tuesday night. We then don't have anything on Monday.
Wednesday.
But then we do have more Premier League on Thursday. And then there's another deadline on Saturday morning. Oh, my God. Bloody hell.
How many dates can we go on with Florian Wirtz in the meantime?
By which time, it'll be 2026, right? So by the time we will by the time we next see you, this time next week on FPL Family, and you won't miss us through the week, right? We've got bloody FPL show, pod this, pod that, Yellener's channel. We're going to be a bloody everywhere. You're going to be sick of us. But by the time we next see you here, live from the FPL Family Living Room Studio, it will be 2026. So if you are celebrating, Happy New Year to all of you. Thank you for all of your support in 2025. It has been a roller coaster year. This season in FPL continues to be really hard, really unpredictable, and really challenging. Some weeks I love it, some weeks I hate it, but for sure, it's going to be a very interesting second half of the season as we go into 2026. So have a great new year. We'll see you this time next Sunday when we'll look back at all of the week's action, because we'll have had 2 game weeks worth of football by then. God. Heaven knows what the ranks will look like. I hope I'm still in the top 1 million. And we will see you then, guys. Cheers.
Bye, everybody.
Oh, like and subscribe and all that stuff.